Well, good morning, and how lovely it is to see everybody here this morning. It's very good to be with you. My name is Paul. If we've not met, I'm the vicar here. And I'd love to begin just by not only welcoming those of you here in the building, but our online community. There are a number of people watching online. I'm not quite sure how many of the tables can be seen, but certainly the tables at the front and maybe in the middle. Could you just turn and wave at the camera, which is just under the digital clock there? Let's give the online community a wave and tell them that they're welcome. It's good to have you with us. Wonders of modern technology. I'd like to say a brief thank you to those who've made our service this morning possible. Janet and Lizette, who crafted the service together. Chloe and Adrian leading our sung worship. Sarah, Mark and Josiah on the tech team and the welcome team. And of course, those who are preparing our lunch for a little bit later. And whilst we're on the subject of lunch, really important, if you haven't booked in for lunch, we have food to spare. And if you would like to stay, we would love to have you with us. It's a totally free lunch. There'll be the opportunity to donate to Tear Fund if you want to do so, but that's not required. We'd far rather have you than your money. And so if you'd like to stay and join us for lunch, we'd love to have you with us. Now, I've just spotted Sarah on the table here. That makes it very unlikely Sarah is actually doing the words today. So it's Pixun I've just spotted behind the thing. So apologies that I said Sarah when I meant Pixun earlier. Sadly, online community, we can't sort lunch for you. Technology stretches so far, but we've not yet been able to crack that one. If we ever can in the future, we'll include you in that as well. Light and life to all he brings. Our theme as a church this Christmas are those two words, light and life. You'll have seen it on our posters and our flyers and things. And those words come from the line which will be in our final carol, light and life to all he brings. And that's why the carol is Hark the Herald. And that's why we've been playing the three verses of that sung by our worship pastor, Julia. And those verses were recorded at last year's online carols. And I just want to focus on four of the words from that line. Firstly, I just want to talk a little bit about bring. Bring is such a great word for Christmas, isn't it? We say to our youngsters, what's Father Christmas bringing this year? Or when your children get to the age of our children, you say, well, if you're coming to lunch, what are you bringing? And so bringing is a really Christmassy thing. Oddly enough, I don't know what it is like in your household, but the idea of bringing something often doesn't quite work. Let me try and explain. This year, Jackie, who is part of the welcome team this morning, she decided that what she really wanted was a pair of new walking boots. And I was going to bring these as my Christmas gift to her this Christmas. But the way it worked is she got the idea for the boots from her sister, Heather, who recommended them. Jackie then looked up to see where she could buy them, couldn't order them online, could only find one shop in the whole country that sold them, and that was in Cardiff, so she rang the shop in Cardiff, and a rather skeptical sales assistant agreed somewhat begrudgingly that he would hold them for her for 24 hours, clearly not expecting to come. She drove all the way to Cardiff, went to the shop, parked, got in, paid them, came back, and I'm to bring her them for Christmas. To add insult to injury, she's already worn them on a walk that we had yesterday. The point of the word bring in this carol is, I think, twofold. Firstly, because to bring something, you have to move towards the person that you want to make a gift to. I think so many people so often think of God as rather static, unmoving, and a long way away. But the word bring reminds us that at the heart of the Christmas story is a God who moves towards us, a God who is active, a God who doesn't wait for us. And the Bible is really quite clear about that all the way through. It is never we who take the initiative, but always God. It is never we who make the first move, but always God. And so I don't know all of you here today, I don't know what you think about God, but I hope I can persuade you to consider that the Christmas story offers you a God who is moving towards you always and bringing things with him, bringing gifts. Secondly, I just want to mention that word bring. It's important that we recognize, it's part of our response to the Christmas story, to the Christian story, that Jesus brings us things we can't bring ourselves. I've already illustrated through Jackie's walking boots that so often at Christmas time, we are brought things that we are chosen. I don't know whether Jackie's still listening to this, but I'm really quite fussy about what I like at Christmas, so I do tend to buy my own presents. I wonder if anybody else is willing to own up to that. Is that an awful confession to make? No, we've got other people here. I'm so grateful you haven't left me alone. So I do tend to do that, and I get my own, and da-di-da-di-da. So it makes a bit of a nonsense of, because Jackie's bringing me things that I'm perfectly able to get for myself. The point of what Jesus brings is that we cannot furnish them for ourselves. They're not available online. They're not available for any amount of money. And they're simply not gifts that we can arrange for ourselves. And that's a really important thing to recognize as we approach the Christmas story. Second word is the word all. And that is such an important word. Light and life to all he brings. Jesus does not discriminate on any human basis. There is no one who can, by failure to act or by appalling act, discount themselves from Jesus's willingness to move towards and bring gifts. The invitation is for all. When I was speaking outside more briefly, because of the cold on Sunday afternoon, our carols on the green, and I was using the story of Peter Pan. Many of you will be familiar, the boy who never grew up, but spent his life in the magical Neverland with the lost boys. And then one evening, he's discovered by Wendy, because although Neverland seemed, certainly when I was a young boy, it seemed a magical place of adventure and battles with pirates and a secret hideaway. It was everything a young boy could dream of. But in every lost boy, and even in Peter, there is a deep, deep longing for home. The lost boys are lost because they feel they have no home to go to. And so Peter spends his nights outside windows listening to mothers tell bedtime stories to their children so that he can remember them, go to Neverland, and tell them to the lost boys. Solomon, writing in the Old Testament, says that God has set eternity in human hearts. In other words, human beings have an inbuilt longing for a reality beyond this world that only God can satisfy. And it is that that Jesus brings to all. When Wendy and her younger brothers, Michael and John, you may remember, when they find Peter Pan, they follow him. He gives them the ability to fly in that wonderful way that novels can give. And they fly off to Neverland, and of course their parents are devastated. And so they leave a window open. And in the theater productions of Peter Pan in the early part of the 20th century, the theaters at that point would have a lighted candle put at the window, because for centuries and across cultures, the Christmas candle has been a sign of those who are absent being missed. It could be a loved one who is simply away. It could be a loved one who's died, and a candle is lit. And the candle signifies that there is someone at home waiting for the absent person to return. And we reflected together outside that, like any good parent, our Heavenly Father leaves the window open for all who want to come home to him. Light and life. The two final words. John, in his gospel, refers to Jesus as both light and life. And light is essential. We take it for granted because for most of us, it's available at the flick of a switch. But in a pre-technical world, light was essential. You couldn't find your way home safely without light. You couldn't see your way without light. And for me as a Christian, and for billions of Christians across the world, Jesus illuminates the way we are to live. Jesus, for me, answers the three biggest questions that I think every human being wrestles with at one point or another, and certainly the three big questions that are at the heart of every religion and philosophy that has ever been. Why am I here? How am I to live while I'm here? And what happens to me when I'm no longer here? Those are the three big questions: origin, lifestyle, destiny. Origin, purpose, you might say, destiny. Christians believe that at that first Christmas in Bethlehem, everything changed because God now has skin in the game. Jesus, who was God, God who became flesh, taking the risk in reality of becoming a lost boy. There were no guarantees in the human world that Jesus was survived. He was certainly a child at risk, as are millions in our world today. And that was the risk that God took, the risk of becoming a lost boy in order that he might grow to seek out the lost and welcome them home. And Christians believe that finding that welcome and responding to it brings life, not just the life that I hope we're all enjoying. This life can be amazing, and I hope we all enjoy this life. I know it has ups and downs, but it can be a great life. But Jesus says there's something even better waiting when this life ends. Light and life to all he brings, because God now has skin in the game. He is, in the words of one of our earlier carols, Emmanuel, God with us. The invitation is to everyone, to all, including you. There's light and life in the gift of God as we encounter him in the person of Jesus. So I just want to end with a brief moment's pause and ask you the question, this Christmas time, what will you bring to the God who is moving towards you, inviting you to discover his light and life? What will you bring him? Let's just be still for a few moments and reflect on that. It's the Christian belief that through his birth at Bethlehem and his death at Easter, Jesus changes everything. It's for that reason that we sing carols of praise to him. So let's stand to sing our closing carol. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.